Thank you. Thank Sanford Chapel for allowing me to come here today. And I appreciate the opportunity to come and share the word and talk about a little bit about the Gideon ministry and a little bit about the word of God. And so that's what I want to do. But first, I want to tell you, my brother back there asked me that I know about Sanford Chapel. And two things is that my wife, when it was on 3rd Street, went there when she came to know Jesus. She's not with me today. We got a grandson graduating at our church, and they're having a special thing. And then Dr. Franklin Taylor brought his Revelation study to the Carpenter building out in the Carpenter community. So I remember, but then I'm an original Lee Christian parent there first year, and y'all let us come in this church, and we about tore your church up, I think. So thank y'all for letting us come, the Lee Christian folks come over here and have their first year of existence as over here at this church. Thank you so much. But I'm in the Lee County Gideon camp, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the Gideons. Y'all give a donation every year, and we really, and I was here last time just to thank you. But I wanted to come back, and they asked me to come back and talk a little bit about the Gideons and then give me a chance to give a message. But we just thank you so much for donating to the Gideons. And it's a worldwide ministry, but I want to tell you what we're doing in Lee County. But first off, let's read the Word of God. And this is out of Isaiah. First off, I thought I could at least win one Bible drill. I thought I could. But y'all wouldn't let me win one Bible drill. That's something. Isaiah 55:10-11. How about that? Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain comes forth and snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. And it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper the things in whereunto I sent it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise God today. We thank you so much for what you did for us in sending Jesus to this world to die on that cross, raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of you right now, Lord. We praise God that we have a chance to get to you through Jesus Christ. Lord, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much that we have a chance to see his mercy and his grace. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it means to us. It's your word to us. And Lord, I thank you. I ask you to be with in this time I've got right here, Lord, to explain some things about the Gideons and also share some from your word. And Lord, I ask you to guide and direct us. Lord, be with each person that's here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I was at a food pantry up in Winston-Salem. And I had a chance to go to a food pantry. I sit down at a table with a parent and her two daughters, preteen daughters. And I'm sitting there with them, talking to them, and I pulled out a small testament. Pulled out a small testament and started sharing from the testament. And I talked to them about heaven. I talked to them about what the Word of God, who Jesus was. I talked to them about how we're all sinners. You, me, all of us, and we need a Savior. And they accepted Jesus into their heart. Folks, that's what we do as Gideons. You know, y'all, we're known about Bibles. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Bibles we have and the Bibles we send all over the world. But the main thing we're supposed to do is share the gospel and share it individually as we go along in life's way. And so that's what we do as Gideons. The Gideons organization that was founded over 100 years ago is two traveling salesmen found themselves in a big hotel in a big city with all the temptations of the world, alone, away from their family, away from their church. They got together and had a Bible study. in their room. And that's how the Gideon ministry started, because they wanted to stay away from the temptations of the world. The temptations of the world are still out there, because sin ain't changed. It ain't changed. But I'm just telling you, that's how the Gideon ministry started. And so pretty soon that Bible study grew, because traveling salesmen, they had the same routes. They went to the same places all the time. And that Bible study grew. And the owner of the hotel come to them and says, "How about putting a Bible in our rooms?" So that's really how it started. That's how the Gideon ministry started. And here, 2026, is still going. It's still going. The Gideons are a group of professional businessmen that are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our single purpose. The gospel is our message. You know, the last time I was here, and I'll do this occasionally, but the last time I was here, I picked up your little book right here. This book right here, very good book, but the gospel is your message. And you let people be known. What's the gospel? The gospel is good news. You say in your book, and I so much appreciate this little book, because we just got challenged at my church about what our mission is. And so this is a neat little book to share as you share with other people, because I'm on talking about sharing Jesus. And that's what we do as Gideons. You know, the Lee County, the Gideon situation, we're in over 200 countries, provinces, territories, and the Bible's translated into 95 different languages. Up here I have a Spanish New Testament. So I have a Spanish New Testament. So we have the Bible's in a lot of different languages. I was in a high-rise motel up in Charlotte checking the rooms for Bibles. And we talked to the housekeepers. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, they had a Russian housekeeper that didn't speak English. And so I was able to show her John 3:16 in this little testament, because John 3:16 is translated into all the languages in this little testament right here. So the word of God can go forth. But like I was saying, the Gideon ministry is set up as in camps. And all over the world, there's camps. And there's camps in Lee. Then we have one camp in Lee County. And your Lee County camp is a busy camp. Our wives are called auxiliary. And they help us. Their main help for us is pray. They pray for us. And that's really, you know, if I ask anything of this church today, is to pray for us. Just pray for us, because we need your prayer. There's challenges all around, as y'all know that. You know there's challenges. And so pray for us. You know, in Lee County, we go to the Lee County Jail every other Saturday. I got a letter here from a lady who talks about the ladies that give out Bibles at the Lee County Jail. And she said that she went there several times to the jail, got arrested. And she went there, and the ladies was always there every other Saturday. They would call her through the little peephole that we can do at the women's section. And they would say, "Well, come up here and let's pray." They got a Bible. They got devotionals. And this girl, it took her a while to accept Jesus into her heart. She went on to Central Prison. But she never forgot those little ladies that came to the Lee County Jail and gave out Bibles. That's one thing that we do. Anyway, this lady went on, got saved, changed, is working in a church right now. The gospel can change people's lives. You know, we see folks and we have situations, we say things can't change, but the gospel changed my life. When I was 24 years old, the gospel changed my life. And so I'm just saying that's what the ministry is about. We had a man named J.C. Perry that passed away, and his son Darrell is a Gideon. And we went to his funeral to give the family a memorial Bible. And after that service, a family come up to me, "Sir, can we speak to you a second?" I said, "Yes." And they said, "We want to tell you about what happened to our son that was in the Lee County Jail." He said, he shot his father. but his father lived. He said Gideon went there and shared the gospel with him, and he's changed. And we see a change in him. He's still going to go to prison. He says he wants to serve the Lord when he gets out of prison. So folks, I can stand up here and tell you story after story about what happens when the word of God is given out and the Holy Spirit works. And so I just want to let you know, your Lee County Gideons is a busy camp. We go, this year we've given out over 1,500 Bibles at our schools. We prayed, we couldn't get into schools for several years. And we prayed and prayed. And finally, the right person got in the right position and we were able to go back to the schools. So we've given out over 1,500 Bibles in the schools, middle schools, and the high school graduation practice. So they get a chance to get a Bible. Now what we have to do, we have to put the Bibles on a table and we have to put a sign up about it. And unless they come and talk to us, we can't talk to them. So that's the rule. But anyway, we're doing it. Danny was a young fifth grader, and his parents didn't go to church. You know, when we talk about not going to church, we have generations now who haven't gone to church. We got generations of people. We think we're in Sanford, North Carolina, middle of the Bible Belt. Surely they know about Jesus. I was at Wesley Middle School, and a little fella come up to me and said, "Mister, is that book about Jesus?" Of course, we all know the Bible is about Jesus. And so I'm just saying that's sort of what we're facing out here in our society today. You think people know about the Bible. They know it's the mind of God. They know it's the Word of God about Jesus, who's the Savior of the world. But some people just don't know. We also give out Bibles at the fair. I was at Lee County Fair. A mother came by with her two boys, offered them a Bible. She said, "I won't have that in my house. I won't have a Bible in my house like that." That's what she said. 10 minutes later, one of them little boys come back and says, "Sir, can I have one of those Bibles?" Praise the name of Jesus that took place. So I could go on and talk about the different things. I'll give you another testimony. And this is about what probably we're known more about than anything is hotel Bibles and putting Bibles in hotels. A songwriter wrote a song. He said, "They slid in me in a table drawer between two double beds. Most often I'm forgotten, but sometimes I do get read. There's been hundreds, even thousands, who have passed a glance at me. But the ones who took my word to heart are forever free." There was a man that lived here in Sanford, and he worked for a doctor named Dr. Siliberto. If anybody remembers, been in Sanford a while, you probably know about Dr. Siliberto, but he had a PA named Elliot Osowitz. And Elliot moved on, but I want to read what happened with Elliot. He said, "On Christmas Eve of 1996, I was entering a motel room with a suitcase, with no suitcase and no carry bag. All I had in my hand was a gun. I'd been a prominent member of my community, a medical professional, a husband and father and two beautiful daughters, grandfather to two amazing children, grandchildren. He had made some serious choices and he was an addict. My wife was recovering from breast cancer. She said, 'Get out of the house.' Earlier that evening, she told me to leave. When I entered the motel room, I was prepared to end my life. I looked over at the TV and saw a book, but I laid it open on top of the TV, and I looked at it, and it was a Bible, and I threw it on the floor. I hated God, hated myself, hated life. And then I pick up that Bible, and it says, 'Peace. Peace. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Nothing like the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid.'" He turned around and called his pastor, his wife's pastor. And that next day, his pastor's wife came over and prayed with him and counseled him, and he accepted Jesus into his heart. Story after story after story. The word of God, it shall not return void. And so, it's an amazing thing. But I must tell you, we went to four hotels, and this is the kind of Bible we put in the hotels. In Sanford, four hotels, and only one would let us put Bibles in. Only one. They said, they don't want your Bible anymore, sir. They don't want it in Sanford, North Carolina. I went to a Bible blitz in Charlotte in March. We went to 15 big-time hotels. This wasn't downtown. This was out from downtown. We could only put Bibles in one. We could only put Bibles in one. The world's changing, folks. There's Bibles. They tell me, I've talked to people that go all over the world, and they say they find Bibles in their hotel rooms. Isn't that something? Praise the holy name of Jesus. You know, like I said, Lee County Gideons are busy. It's a busy camp. It's a very busy camp, and we do a lot of different things. Talking about that Bible blitz, we went to all kind of places in Charlotte. 21,296 Bibles was put out. We had 18 people come to know Jesus as we went around and talked to folks. And so it's all worth it. You know, the Bible says in Luke 15, there's joy in heaven for one person that comes to know Jesus, right? In Luke 15, that's what it says. I could talk about worldwide stuff. A lot of people just want to hear about our county. But just so you know, we're worldwide. I have a picture here. I'll get it. I got it here. This fellow right here, probably can't see it, but it's an older man in a uniform. This man's in Ukraine. He was in the Ukraine. He's a Gideon. Gideons are all over the world. We got Gideons in Ukraine, Gideons in Russia. Iran is a country we can't get in. China kicked the Gideons out. So all over the world, there's problems getting the Word of God out, the true Word of God. By the way, in that same big high-rise hotel in Charlotte, I found, instead of the Word of God, I found a Mormon Bible. A Mormon Bible instead of the Word of God. So I found that. But this man right here, when the war started over there, he said, I'm going to join the army because I'm going to go to the front lines and give out Bibles. So he went. He come home from that, from his one time going. Gave out the Word of God. He saw his family. He said, I got to go back. He said, I got to go back. And he was killed. He was killed on the front line. It said, many shared how he had led them in prayer and repentance, how he poured out the love of Christ to his fellow soldiers. Victor earned that reputation among them as the kindest man in their unit. And his sole purpose was to share the gospel. So I just want to let you know, one thing about it, I got some bulletins back there that talks about the Gideon ministry. You can take one when you go out. Also, how do Gideons make the money to do all this? Well, the Gideons give. That's the most things that they do, the Gideons give. But churches are very big partners for us. Everybody we talk to, we have to direct to a church. We're all members of different churches, but we have to direct them to a church. So anybody that comes to know Jesus, you can't just stop there. You got to have some discipling. So just so you know that. Also, ladies, I've got some cards back there. So everybody pick up some cards. You can send their in love and memory cards. And that's another way Gideons make money. And then churches give. But y'all have already given. I'm not expecting an offering today. So I just want to let you know that because your church made a decision. I think that's a good decision because we're a mission of the church. We're an arm of the church, and we're partners with the church. And so that's what I want to say. I'm not in a hurry today if anybody's got any questions about it. Also, we need Gideons. We need Gideons. You might be looking at the youngest Gideon in the Lee County camp. And so we need Gideons. You might see some old men around doing stuff, and they're old. But I want to tell you something. It's such a blessing to see people. We're on the race to the finish line, folks. We got to keep on going, no matter how hard it is. We got to keep on going, and that's what the Gideons do. So you might see us. We also know that people are on their apps. There's no doubt about it. We have a Gideon Bible app. So if you don't have a Bible app on your phone, this is a good Bible app to have. And this is King James Church, King James. They got different versions, but you can pull it up and it'll read it to you. I'm going to tell you how I use it. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't get back to sleep, I'll turn it on. And I'll turn on Psalms. Psalms 34. I'll turn now 71 now. I'm listening to 71. Psalms, the beautiful Psalms. If you need trouble, comfort. You know, the Word of God leads people to Jesus, but it comforts His people. You know that? It comforts us in times of trouble. But the Gideon Bible app is a good thing to put on your phone if you don't have a Bible on your phone or your pad. But anyway, I got a message that I think the Lord gave me, and I want to share that with you. And it's about how did the Word of God get out to the world? How did the Word of God get out to the world? You know, y'all talk about the Passover, and you talked about that this morning. But let's turn to John 13:1. John 13:1. Now this is Jesus talking. This is in red letters in your Bible. And he's in the upper room. We're 36 hours maybe from his crucifixion. Right? John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and he went to God, he risen from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself, and after he poured water into the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel wherein he was girded. So here was Jesus. Now he had been walking on, he had a ministry for 3 years, chose disciples, they walked with him, they saw everything, they saw the miracles, blind eyes opened, lepers cleansed, people raised from the dead, demons cast out, they had seen all that. Now here he was giving his final instructions. And this is where he's going to tell about the Holy Spirit. He tells them all along, but this is where he's going to do it. Now the next verse to look at is John 14:1-4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and that way you know. And guess who speaks up next? Thomas. So Thomas says, we don't know the way. Here they were, just hours from Jesus' crucifixion. And Thomas is saying, we don't know the way. Remember, the disciples then, they didn't have the Bible. They had what they had, and they had Jesus in front of them. Said, they don't know the way. So what does Jesus say? And also, this is the gospel right here. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That very verse itself is a battle cry for us, because that's not what the world wants to hear. The Muslim world, the Buddhist world, the Hindu world. And by the way, when I talk about can't get in the hotels. The reason is the Indian people are buying the hotels. What are they? They're Hindus in Sanford. You go to a hotel, you might have a Hindu from India buying these hotels. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about other religions because it doesn't matter to us. We've got the truth, right? We got the truth. So remember now, when you look at a world map, this 2026, when you look at a world map, can you find Israel easy? You can't. That's where Jesus was. He was there in Israel in a very small place. And he was telling his disciples, he said, you're going to have to do this. This is what I want you to do, disciples, is share the gospel. It says, John 15, 14, 15, 16, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Okay, here's where he's talking about the comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that's in every believer. He goes on to say in John 14, 27, 20 through 29, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again. If you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said I go to my Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, that you might believe. But listen to what he says in verse 14, 31. Chapter 14, 31, he said, but that the world may know. They're in a little bitty part of the world. And that's the only place Jesus was at in the flesh, right? So who's going to carry the gospel? These disciples. Who's going to stand up? These disciples, right? John 16, 29, 30, his disciples said unto him, lo, thou speakest plainly and speak no proverb. Now this is later on. Now I must tell you folks, if you want to have a good Bible study, if you'll read John 14, 15, and 16, and then read John 14, 15, and 16 again and again, to get what Jesus said to his disciples. It says here, his disciples finally say to him, it says, the disciples said to him, lo, thou speakest plainly now, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure thou of all things, needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe thou came from God. Here we are in the upper room with his disciples and Jesus in the upper room. And they finally are believing. And Jesus says in the next verse, now you finally believe. Then he tells them in John 16, 33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you shall have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Folks, when we sing Amazing Grace, in that third verse, through many trials and toils and dangers we've already come. Just look around the room. Through many trials and dangers we've already come, folks. We don't know what's ahead of us. But Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says, I have overcome the world. You know, so what's his word to us? So we know what happens next. He leaves. You know, also, it's a great idea if you're going to read John 14, 15, and 16 to go ahead and read John 17. It's called the priestly prayer. That's Jesus' prayer for his disciples and for us. Jesus' prayer in John 17. And then it starts in John 18 where they capture him. So now he's ascended. He's not ascended yet. I've come into that. But now he's been crucified and rose from the dead. And he's speaking to his disciples in Mark 16, 15 through 16. He says, as he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in me is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be ashamed. So he's telling them, he's giving them their instructions. Now let's go over to Acts. Okay, we go from John to Acts. And it says here in Acts 6, 1, 6 through 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Sanford, Judea, North Carolina, Samaria, United States, othermost parts of the world. So folks, we got a call on our life. We got a call on our life to share. We have a divine appointments. There's people going to hell all over the place. In your encounters, in your daily encounters. And so having a church that stands firm for the Word of God is important. You know, when we talk about what the gospel is and what it is, you know, like I said, I appreciate this book. And I actually took this, when y'all share the good news, I got a piece of paper and I wrote out all the verses you have sharing the good news. And I enjoyed this book, and y'all lay it out. So you got a tool, just like I have a tool. This tool that I have in the back of this book, it's got the plan of salvation. In the fourth page of this book, it's got helps. It guides people if you're afraid, if you're lonely, if you got all these feelings, it shows them verses they can have. But y'all got a tool y'all can use. You can carry it with you and say, this is what we believe, and this is the gospel, because you got it right here. So it says, and you know what John 3:16-17 says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse is so important. Because, you know, one thing about people, sinners like us, you know, I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to people and they don't want to give up their sin. They're holding on to their sin. You know, I worked down at the Bread of Life. I managed it for 13 years here in Sanford. And I used to go down there and want to carry people to church. I had this elderly man. I had this elderly man there. And I talked him into going to church with me. And he came to my church 3 or 4 Sundays. And he was hearing the gospel, you know. And I knew he was kind of a rough fella. But so he didn't stop showing up. So me and a fellow believer went to his house. And sir, we missed you. We know you'd been coming. You know what he told us? He said, I can't sit in this church because I love prostitutes. I'm not going to your church because I love prostitutes. He had sin in his life. He had sin in his life, and he knew he couldn't sit under the gospel. That's what's happening, folks. That's the separating point, isn't it? Now, none of us are perfect. In John 1:9 is a life verse for all of us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, folks, when I talk about what we're supposed to be doing and what the Gideons do, but what personally, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he tells us to go. Now, what did his disciples do? They stayed in one accord. They stayed in one accord. I got a dear Christian friend that's from the Fiji Islands. And I saw her the other night, and she said, I just cannot believe the division in Christians in America. I can't believe it. She said, we've got the gospel that tells us what to do, but there's such divisions in Christians. But these disciples stayed in one accord in the upper room, right? They stayed in one accord until the day of Pentecost. Jesus told them, y'all stay together, stay together. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes, and Peter jumps up and starts preaching. The church age starts, right? The church age that we're in right now starts right then. He starts preaching. People get saved. He says, repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. Because repentance, you got to have repentance, right? They got to truly repent. They got to truly believe. But I didn't read this verse 3:17 a while ago because I started talking. I should have stayed with the gospel. It said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the message. There'll be a day of judgment coming. But the message is, he came to save us. So Peter and John started preaching. They went out and started preaching. Peter then had that episode with Cornelius, and the Gentiles were brought into the fold. That's us. The Gentiles were brought into the fold, right? And so he goes on and writes his other books. You know, he talks about, you know, everybody knows, Christians should know the Roman road, how it goes. We're all sinners. 3:23, we're all sinners. Right? The wages of sin is death, 6:23. But the wages of sin is death. If you never get your sins forgiven, guess what? If you never come to a point of asking Jesus, the Lord, I'm a sinner, I know I'm a sinner, please save me. Please forgive me. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. In Romans 5:8, it said, God commended his love toward us, or demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when he was talking to his disciples in the upper room at the Lord's Supper, after he'd washed their feet, he said that the world may know. So here was Jesus sending out his message. Now Jesus left. Sitting right now, the Bible says he's sitting right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and for me. That's what it says in the Word of God, right? He's making intercession for you and for me. He's got the Holy Spirit. He said, as